Hebrews 11, if you've got your Bible. Hopefully you're doing well. Everyone's doing well. You're very quiet. What's happened to the Pentecostals that used to swing from the light shades? Where have they gone? I know, we'll just have to get one, eh? Hang one down here so people could come and swing on it. Okay, here's what's going to happen this morning. Are you ready? Everybody's going to get up and I want you to move where you're sitting. I want you to change. I don't care how far you go, but I want you to change where you're sitting. Just change. I know it's inconvenient. It's a pain, but stand up and change. Move somewhere. Move somewhere. Change who you're sitting by. Can't sit by the same person. Try somewhere different. Mate, great. New front rowers, I like that. And I bet you there are some that didn't move at all. Does that say anything about you if you didn't move? Does it say anything? So this morning I want to talk about what do you believe? What do you believe? Actually, my message title is What You Need for the Journey. Faith and prayer. But I'm very convinced that we've all got to increase our belief in God another level. So I want to know, what do you believe? What do you believe when it comes to faith? What do you believe when it comes to prayer? What do you believe when it comes to God? Our beliefs are taking us in all sorts of directions, and we've all got them. There's big ones, there's little ones, there's all sort of little beliefs we have. Some of them are superstitious. You know, I'm still amazed how many people go, touch wood. What's that? Is that some sort of belief? Or even now they say, oh, that was on the cards. What cards? What cards? All our beliefs. I'm amazed how... Even they say it on the news now. It was on the cards. I go, oh, that's interesting. What do you believe? Our beliefs are shaping our life. Where you are today is a result of all your beliefs. It's a result. Where you sit, what's happening in your life, your financial position is a result of your beliefs. What you believe is shaping affecting every area of your life. So what do you believe about God? See, what you believe about Him will shape everything. It'll affect how you interact with God. How you believe in God now is shaping the way you pray, whether you pray or you don't pray. It's shaping you, your faith, what you believe. It'll affect how you communicate with God. What you believe about God will be shaping how you communicate with God. I think that sometimes there's a little distance between what we actually say we believe and what we actually believe. What you actually believe is tied up in your actions. So you can say you believe in prayer, but your belief in prayer is directly related to how much you pray. They're connected. You can't separate them. Your belief will fulfill in actions. Paul said, faith without works is dead. What was he saying? Is that faith as just a saying has no substance unless you are beginning to live it out. When you begin to live it out, that is a reflection of your faith. So how much faith in God do you have? Hebrews 11 is a great faith chapter, and I've been meditating on this verse, Hebrews 6. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. The message says he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. Is that a fundamental part of your belief? And man, I'm stiffing like anything, aren't I? Is that your fundamental belief? So here's the first bit, is he exists. And I'm not going to take it for granted that everybody in here believes in God. I talked to a person just recently in our church, and they said, I don't believe in God. I'm just coming to support someone. So there's people here that don't believe in God. But to start with your connection with God, you've got to believe that he exists. And I just thought I'd write down some things that are the reason I believe God exists. So here's, what have I got? I've got seven. I think there's more, but these are seven that I sort of felt were good. Creation. To me, creation is an evidence of God. Now, I don't know what your theology is on seven-day creation or whether you think it's billions of years. Either way, I'm probably a literal 7 days, but I also wonder whether God put time in at about day three or day four, and that before that there was no time, so whether it took a billion or a trillion for him to do it, well, it doesn't matter because there's no time. And infinity or billions is just forever anyway, but my belief is that he created it. There has to come a point of time, though, when suddenly it all got put together. Because there's too much in our world that is relying on each other. There's too many, what they call the fine-tuning of our world has to have happened pretty quick. I mean, I know this sounds silly, but I was thinking about what came first, the chicken or the egg? Now, well, I believe the chicken, so just so we've got that. But if you don't believe in creation, where did it start? If you don't believe in a creator, where did it start? How could that, such a short cycle, happen? It has to have been that God at some stage went, right, now let's bring it all together. Ta-da. It has to be divine. It's too complicated. It's too complex that I cannot believe that the world we have today has just appeared, has just even evolved. It's just important. For me, that points to a God. The second one is my personal experience. Just my experience in life and watching and seeing God move so many times and seeing what God does, there is no doubt that God works from my personal experience. Now, personal experience is pretty subjective, and I'm sure there's a whole lot of other people in here, and you go, from my experience, I know God as well. But for some, you might go, well, I don't know whether experience has balanced it up for me. But there will definitely be things where you go, that is unexplainable. That was spiritual. That was incredible. That is a belief that God exists. Third one is healing miracles. And I'm not just talking about in church. Do you know that medical science can't explain everything? That even doctors have a little box of unexplained. Doesn't make sense. There's miracles. There's even scientific evidence where they're looking at these test things and going, how can this be this? We can't explain it. It's a miracle. To me, that explains there's a God. There's a God who does miracles. Healing. So visions of Jesus. I don't know if you've ever done any research on this, but there are a huge amount of Muslims coming to Jesus from a vision. And they have the same vision. Like we're not talking a couple of hundred, we're talking thousands. And these are Muslims who are seeking after God, and they're having these visitations of God. I remember us having the we had the testimony of Joel Van Am's dad. What's his name? James Van Am. That was his experience. He didn't know whether he believed in God, and he said, "God, you've got to make myself real." And if you listen to the testimony, you just feel the goosebumps when he says, "Jesus appeared at the end of my bed." But for all these Muslims, it's unexplainable. Why would they get the same dream? The same thing that shows them, hey, and a lot of these people are going through severe persecution because they suddenly have this encounter with God and they begin to believe in Jesus. And it's just not acceptable. You don't change the way you live unless you've really had an encounter. And lots of people go, well, you know, like one or two, you go, well, that's but thousands? It has to point to there being a God. Five, gifts of the Holy Spirit, words of knowledge. How many people have ever had a word of knowledge for someone? Okay. How many people have ever had someone come up and pray for them and you go, how did they know to pray for that? Countless. I just know myself from things that people say and things I go, it's like there has to be somebody that's watching everything and is explaining it to them. Maybe God. Just explaining things. Because God's real. He wants to talk to you. Number six I put down was transformed lives. You know, this world wants to change people. And I am convinced the best way for someone to change is to have a relationship with God. And I've seen it work. I've seen people that are being totally out of control, going one direction, not One Direction, the band, going, I know you were thinking that, so I just, going this in a certain direction, and God, they have a God encounter, and it changes their lives. In fact, there'd be people in here that you'd go, that was me. That's what happened in my life. That, for me, is evidence that there is a God. And the seventh one I got was answered prayer. I don't know what it is, but when I pray things change. And I've seen things change in my life because I've prayed for them. Prayer changes things. Answered prayers. It's unexplainable. Some of them are little things, some of them are big things, but God answers prayer. You've got to believe that God exists. And again, I go, most of us here go, yeah, I believe God exists. I believe God. The second thing, though, is then you've got to believe that God responds. So what does that verse say? And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and he rewards those who sincerely seek him. He responds to those who seek him. We must believe that God responds. We must believe that God responds. And to please God, you must believe that he exists, and second, that he responds to you and me. He likes us. He likes us relying on him. He wants you to rely on him. God is pleased when you rely on him. God is pleased when you trust him. See, for me, faith equals trust. So I start thinking about, do I trust God in everything? That's a big thing. Faith in God translates into trust. In fact, I feel that a lot of times those words are interchangeable. I trust God. Do you trust God? You believe he exists, but do you trust him? Do you trust him in your life? Do you trust him in what's happening in your world? Do you trust him in what's happening in your finances? Do you trust him in what's happening in your family? Do you trust him? Do you rely on him? Do you have confidence in God? So we believe God exists. We believe that God responds. He rewards. He responds. He hears. He acknowledges. He may not always respond the way we expect, though. Because sometimes our faith is in a certain response from God. So I trust God if he does X, Y, Z. But what happens when he doesn't do X, Y, Z? Do you still trust him? Do you still have faith in him? See, we often say we trust God, but often our trust is in that God will do what we desire and what we want. That's why sometimes we're so disappointed. And really, when we get disappointed in God, that's a reflection that we actually had our trust in God for something. Not just our trust in God regardless of what happens. Our trust in God has to trust in Him irrespective of anything else happening. So let's read that again. And it is impossible to please God without faith. One of the things that I've been doing a lot more of is just rethinking over scriptures and trying to rewrite them. When I say rewrite them, don't look at me like that. Rewrite them again and saying, what does this say? We did the C3 Bible College on Tuesday night, and Pastor Phil said, look, one of the main things that we don't do enough of is meditating on His word, which is chewing it. He says it's like eating something and it just passing straight through you. Meditation is the digestive system of taking the word and getting it into your life. It's the getting the goodness out of it. So a lot of times our quantity of reading is just like, I was going to use a horrible thing, but it's like you've just got the runs. It just goes straight through you. You know? No, you got to think about it. Meditate on it. Let it work into you. Let it become a part of you. And look, to meditate, see, our meditation is we don't empty our head of everything. We fill it with the Word of God. That's it. That's the Christian meditation. You begin to just think on the Word. It is impossible to please God without faith. If I want to please God, I must live by faith. I must live where I'm trusting in God. And I don't know about you, in our life there's so many things that I just trust in myself on. I think I've got it covered. And you know, it doesn't please God. He's actually not that happy about those things. He wants me to live in this zone that I'm constantly trusting Him. I'm constantly relying on Him in everything that I do. So I'm constantly praying, asking God, talking to God about them. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists, and He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. From here, we build our faith in God. Our faith is not static. Our faith is not set. Our faith changes and moves. It grows. And in some cases, it shrinks. I feel faith is a little bit like a muscle. The more you use it, the more it develops. One of the things that I've started to experience, because I'm getting a little bit older, only a little bit, and is that certain parts of my body don't seem to quite perform the way they used to. I was playing a game of tennis, and I used to be able to get to those short balls, but I can't get there now. And one of the tendencies as you get older is to go, oh, I'm going to do less and less. The less you do, the less you will be able to do. And there's something about pushing ourselves and stretching ourselves and growing ourselves that causes us to keep being able to do things. I know some of you young people look at me going, I don't get that. That doesn't seem to make sense. It will. Just give you another few years. It'll make sense. You've got to keep using parts. You know, otherwise you won't be able to touch your toes anymore. Or you won't be able to do this, or you won't be able to... Look, that's the same in faith. If you just let your faith sit there, it's on one of these backward scales. It just goes backwards. Just slowly decreases. To increase your faith, you've got to be active with your faith. And God's pleased when you're active. And here's my question on that is, how active is your faith? What are you trusting God for? Oh, I've got nothing in my life to trust God for. Well, I can tell you this, God's not very happy. Or, let's take it the other way, it doesn't please Him. But when you're living a life of faith, we've got to be living a life of constant faith. Living by faith. Living by faith. Living believing that God's going to intervene in our lives. Living. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we live by believing, not by seeing. The context there is our belief in getting a heavenly body. But we live by believing, not by seeing. Too many of us are affected by what we see. We're too affected by what we see. And we accept too easily what we see. God goes, no, there's more to you, to it. We accept the physical condition. God goes, yeah, but I can perform a miracle on that. So you can't accept what you just see. You can't accept what you have as a status quo right now. Your belief is that God's going to keep working. God's going to do something. God's going to do a miracle if you need a healing miracle. Hebrews 10:38 says, my righteous ones will live by faith. I always take scriptures and throw them back the other way. So my unrighteous ones won't live by faith. Don't live by faith. Ooh. No, I've got to live by faith. Yeah, but Alan, I've had a whole lot of things go wrong, and I tried that, and I tried this. Well, don't settle there. Get back up again. Your faith is in God. You trust Him. We live by what we believe, not by what we see. Not based on our experience, based on our God and His Word. You know, God is thinking about you all the time. Do you know that? God is thinking about you all the time. God's obsessed with you. God is trying to speak to you all the time. I've been saying this for a while. All the time God's trying to speak to people. In fact, I could come around and give everybody a word from God because He's trying to speak to you. Psalm 139, verse 17 says, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up, you are still with me. You know how you try and sort of figure things out. I thought, how long would it take you to count to a billion? How long, if you said, right, I'm going to count to a billion, how long do you think it would take you? Well, I asked Google. And there was a whole lot of different answers. One person said 36 years. Another said 86. And then they said, I've got my maths wrong. And they did a whole lot of other calculations, but they didn't have a number at the end. God's thinking about you constantly. If you can't number them, like you can't number the sand on the seashore, that part of the beach there, how much sand is in there? You can't even count it. It would be hard enough to take a shovel full and count that, wouldn't it? That would take a little bit of a while. You can't, and that's God thinking of you. And people go, oh, I don't know whether God's interested in me. My goodness. All the time. He's all the time wanting to connect with you. He's wanting to tell you He loves you. He's wanting to tell you how awesome you are. How amazing you are. He's wanting to tell you His plans for your life. He's crazy about you. You think romantic love, that's nothing. It doesn't even exist God's love is huge. He's constantly thinking about you. Have you ever thought about that? Constantly. You're never alone because He's constantly trying to connect to you. He's constantly, His thoughts, how precious are your thoughts about me? They cannot be numbered. You can't number them. That's mind-blowing. Psalm 139, verse 17 to 18. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Do you believe that? So you believe God exists? You believe that He responds? Do you believe He's constantly thinking about you all the time? He's watching you. He's with you. He's interested in you.
It's just huge. It's like this huge outpouring of God towards you as an individual. I know about you, I don't live in that zone all the time. Yeah. In fact, he wants you to be the center. You are the center, but he wants to be the center of your life. He wants you to think about him as much as he thinks about you. He wants to be involved in your life. Our beliefs are taking us in all sorts of directions. Our belief is shaping our lives. And so I come to increase your faith, but the second is I feel we need to pray more. And you know, this year, I'm often going to God, what's the thing for this year? What do I challenge people on this year? What's your thing? And I've had three things that just keep coming. Here's the three. One of them is to encourage everyone to pray this prayer. Dear God, please give me the pleasure of leading someone to Christ this year. I just keep getting that needs to be our prayer. You know, the most exciting thing you'll ever do in your life is to lead someone to God. You change their eternity. Of all the things that have value in this world, that is right up there. Of all the things that causes a bit of a celebration in heaven, it's that. And unfortunately for us as Christians, is a lot of us never get the pleasure of doing that because maybe we don't pray and ask God to. We have all the reasons why. So I'm challenging everybody, going, come pray this prayer. God, please give me the pleasure of leading one person to Christ this year. You've got no guarantee on a person how they respond. That's up to them and God. You can't make a person, but you can believe for that opportunity to lead them through a sinner's prayer, to lead them to Christ. Of all the things that you and I do, and I look at my life and I go, yep, great ministering in church, yep, love it. But I look back and the people that I've led to Jesus are the most important fruit in my life. It changed their course. It changed their life. They'll be in heaven because of that. And not just theirs, it affects all around their family, their children, their children's children. Now that I'm getting older, they've seen that. Come on, can you pray that prayer? Dear God, please give me the pleasure of leading someone to Christ this year. It'll stop us looking at ourselves. It's a prayer that God's into. God gets excited about that prayer. Here's the second one. Can you increase your prayer life? It's all I'm asking. So if you pray for 5 minutes a day, do you think you could do six? Can you lift your prayer life? Now, again, for me, my prayer life is directly related to how much I believe that God is listening and rewards those who diligently seek him. It's my prayer life is directly proportionate to my belief. How much I pray is totally based on how much I believe prayer works. Totally based on how much I believe God is listening. And here's my encouragement: can you increase it? I don't know what that means for you. Whatever it means for you, can you go, can I increase my prayer life? Some of you, I felt when I was praying about this morning, you used to pray a lot in your car, but now you're listening to a lot more of the radio. And I'm just encouraging you in this season, can you go back to praying more in the car? Can you increase your prayer? If you pray in the shower, can you have a longer shower? I was going to say if you pray in the toilet, but that's okay. Wherever you pray, can you just increase it a little bit? It'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. And if you were here a couple of weeks ago, I really encouraged everybody to have people praying for them. So a couple of weeks ago, I got all the people that feel they had a call to intercede. And I said to the people in the church, why don't you look at someone that's standing up and say, can you pray for me? I think every one of us should have people praying for us. I'm convinced of it. If you're a business person, you need to pay four or five people. What did I say? You need to have. I nearly said needed to pay. Well, I did say the other week that a guy that's got a $1 billion business in Australia pays his intercessors. He says, look, your job, I need people in my business that just pray for me. I'm going to pray. If you can pray for our business, that's their job. There we go. How many people want a new job? You could do that regardless of whether you're paid or not, couldn't you, really? I hope you all are. But why don't you get somebody to pray for you? Some of you are struggling in things, and it's because you're trying to do it alone. Ask someone to pray for you. Sometimes we have to humble ourselves. Victor had a great message on that just recently. Come on, go and ask someone to pray for you. Have you got people praying for you? You need it. Again, if you believe in prayer, then you go, I need it. If you don't believe in prayer, you go, well, I don't need it. Who you got praying for you? Who are you praying for? Can you increase your prayer life? And the third thing I've been asking is, can you make 5 new best friends this year? So that next year you're sitting there and you go, man, a year ago I didn't know that person, and now they're in my life. Can you get 5 new best friends? New friends, just somebody that's not in your world now. Look, even if you do one, you'll be doing well. But going looking for some new people that are in your life. Honestly, it'll change your life. So I'm not just about friends that you've acquainted and meet. It's people that you're going to go, I'm going to strategically make that person my friend. Over the next month, 2 months, as you're going through life, we'll be asking God, who's someone that I should be making a good friend? And you'll meet someone and go, okay, I'm going to get to know them a bit better. Even if they don't become your best friend, you'll know them. Can you pray more? That's my main one today. Can you pray more? Can you pray more? Some leaders and I were talking the other day, and someone said they saw a picture of a person praying and another person walking. And while that person was praying, the other person was walking, but when that person stopped praying, that person stopped walking. And I felt that was a word for our church. I think I told you a couple of weeks ago, I've been thinking lots about Moses and when Israel were fighting Amalek. They're going through the wilderness and the Amalekites attack them. And so Joshua's down there fighting and Moses lifts his hands. When he lifts his hands, they start winning. I don't know how he did that. You know, he's probably looking down going, come on, come on. They start winning. Come on, come on. And then he puts his hands down. They start losing. Oh, come on, come on. And he suddenly realized that every time he put his hands in the air, something changed. There was a spiritual effect from the natural things he was doing. Why did I get you to move this morning? I think there's a spiritual stirring. Some of us are too settled where we sit all the time. Some of us have become a little bit conservative, a little bit quiet. Some of us have just stopped. You need to stir it up. You need to stir up your prayer life. Come on, we need to stir it up. It affects the church, the level of the church. I believe that there is more happening in God now for our church than there ever been. There are more people having victories. But the result of more victories is there's more people under pressure and in war. They go together. We go, yeah, we want more victories. We want to see God do more things. Well, guess what? We face more battles to get there. Yes, we want to take the promised land. 31 battles. You need more prayer. I need more prayer. I need you to pray for me more. I feel there's more attacks, more things that weirdly are going wrong. And I'm going, man, that enemy's just not happy. I want you to pray more. I want you to use the prayer room. You guys are the privileged ones. You guys that are in here in Tauranga, you've got the prayer room up there. I want you to use it. It's easy. You can go any time you like. At night, at the moment, there's no curtain, so when you put the light on, everybody will be able to see you. You'll be able to wave to them as you pray.
Well, you won't. You won't even see them, but they'll see you.
But you can go and pray up there. If you want the number, you just go to the information desk, and they'll give it to you. We're getting everybody to go to the information desk so that if we change it, we can let you know, because we don't want you turning up and suddenly go, oh, they've changed the number and they never told me. Right, so just go. They'll give you the number. It's easy. You'll be able to remember it. But I need people praying. There's a weight that we need to pray more. I believe God works through prayer. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human. Elijah was just like you and me. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. God's put that in there so that you know that your prayers are that powerful. Do you believe that? Do you believe that your prayers are that powerful? That you can pray and it stops raining? Then he prayed again and the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. Pray. Pray. Pray with somebody. Maybe you go, I can find it really hard to pray. Go get someone. That's quite scriptural. Matthew 18:19. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I'm there among them. We've got to keep praying. I need you to keep praying. Pray for Kids Go Wild. If you can't come, pray for Kids Go Wild. Pray for anything and everything. Pray for your friend. Let me pray. Dear God, I thank you for every person in this room. Lord, that you've called them, you've known them. Your thoughts are towards them. Your thoughts are towards them. And Father, I pray for a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit in their life. And maybe this morning you don't know God. You don't have a relationship with God. He loves you. He's interested in you. He's got all those thoughts going towards you. He's wanting to connect with you. He's wanting to talk to you. But God's a gentleman. He waits. He waits for us. He waits for us to respond. And right now is an opportunity for you to respond. And all you have to do is to ask, dear God, come into my life. He gives you a gift. All you have to do is receive it.